We're in the middle of a series that we're referring to as Made for More. And we're going to continue in that vein today. And I get the privilege of sharing with you from Matthew chapter 16. If you want to go ahead and turn there. I believe that you were made for more. We serve a God who's in the business of doing exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think, according to the power that He deposits in your life. We serve a God who testifies through His scripture and the pen of Paul that He desires to take people from one level of faith to the next level of faith, from one level of glory to the next level of glory. So I don't know what your 2019 was like, but I believe that God wants to reveal more of His presence, more of His purpose, more of His power in your life in 2020. In fact, I would say that He desires to do that in your February in comparison with your January. So go ahead and get ready for more. Can we believe for that? More of God's presence, more clarity regarding His purpose, and more manifestation of His power in our life. What I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to read a passage of text, and as I do, I'm basically just going to drop an anchor, and then we'll circle back to that as we move our way through the message. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus and Simon Peter are having a conversation, and I want you to watch the progression of this conversation. It comes on the other side of Simon Peter revealing that he knows that despite what other people are saying about Jesus, that Jesus really is the living Son of God. So in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this revelation to you that I am the Son of God. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, and that means rock. And upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it." You may have heard it this way: the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Drop to verse 23, and the conversation continues, and Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." My, how things changed so quickly. I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning as we prepare ourselves for the things that God has for us as we take our next steps in Him. Just look over at somebody and tell them, "You were made for more." This is our fourth week talking about and recognizing the fact that God has made us for more than what we are currently experiencing, regardless of what level that might be. And I do realize that when we talk about that and we begin to contemplate that and we begin to believe for that, that there may be some of you that begin to actually get a little bit discouraged and you begin to struggle somewhat, because the truth of it is you feel invisible. It's almost like nobody sees you. At times you wonder if other people even know if you exist. That maybe on the job place, it seems like you're always passed over for the promotion. It may seem like in your own house that your spouse doesn't even seem to acknowledge your human existence. Maybe it's been a long time since you've heard from your kids or your grandkids, or maybe even in ministerial circles, sometimes for whatever reason, it just feels like that you are invisible to other people. And I was thinking about that. As I prayed through it, I began to contemplate that if you feel invisible, if you feel hidden, God may have more to do with that than you have realized up to this point. Because as you read through Scripture, there is a repetitive thing. Anyone that God intended to use greatly, He hid them first. See, God intended to do great things through Moses. He was actually going to use Moses to deliver over 1 million of His people from Egyptian bondage. But the first thing God did was hide Moses for over 40 years on the backside of a desert, in an absolute place of obscurity, doing little more than tending sheep, so far as we know. God was going to do things through David that people would, even thousands of years, struggle to be able to explain the true power and majesty of it. In fact, in his own time frame, they would sing, "David has slayed his tens of thousands, while the reigning king has only slayed his thousands. It is David that would take the head off of giants and conquer land after land under the banner of Israel. But the first thing God did was hide David. Hid him in a shepherd's field to where that his own father didn't seem to even notice him. That when somebody stopped by his house and said, one of your sons is going to be king, his father didn't even put him in the lineup. It was as though he was invisible. Or maybe God was just hiding him. There's a man in the New Testament, when we first meet him, his name is Saul. We come to later know him as Paul. He has a Damascus Road experience. He sees the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has a salvation experience, and then the first thing that God did was hide him for 3 years before he burst onto the public scene and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Even with Jesus himself, the Son of God made manifest in the earth, there are almost 30 years of his life that are missing, that are invisible in Scripture in many ways, that are hidden. Over and over again in Scripture, it seems like that when God intended to use someone in a great way, whether they be male or they be female, he would first hide them. And the question becomes, why? And I think that maybe one of the reasons for that is because it seems like to me that when people know who you are, when they recognize who you are, and maybe even have an awareness of what it is that God wants to do someday in your life, they tend to have one of two responses. If they don't like you, they try to abort you. They try to kill you in your infancy because they're afraid of you in your maturity. They try to take you down while they still got half a chance. But then there's the other people that when they find out who you are, they like you. And they begin to affirm you. And they begin to celebrate you. And they actually begin to accelerate or rush you. They try to get you ahead of God's plan. They try to get you ahead of the sequence that heaven and the kingdom of heaven has laid out for your life. And so I just want to share with you this morning that if you feel invisible, if you feel like you live in a place of obscurity, if you feel like that you are hidden, if you feel like you are overlooked, God may have more to do with that than you have given him credit for. There may be a method behind the madness that heaven is unfolding one piece at a time through the sovereignty of our Heavenly Father. And just let me say this to you. If you are being hidden, there's one really good thing about that, is that while you're being hidden, there is absolutely no doubt that God is equipping you. Sometimes it's while you're in that place of obscurity, David, that you learn how to kill the lion and the bear where nobody's looking, so that when you stand in front of the public forum, you'll be able to kill Goliath when everybody is looking. Sometimes you learn how to pray without an audience. Sometimes you learn how to encourage yourself and how to live for the approval of heaven rather than for the applause of man. Because God wants to do something through you that's not going to compromise, that's not going to bend, that's not going to bow. And as I think about the fact that when we're in that hidden place, when we're in that private place, sometimes it feels like a secret place. Secrets are meant to be hidden. There's something about learning the Psalm 91 version of God. Psalm 91 says that there is something significant when you choose to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, because it means you are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, you are hidden that he might be revealed. And while you're there, he's teaching you that the arrow is not going to be able to get you by day, and the fire is not going to be able to get you by night. And there'll come a moment where 1,000 will fall at your left hand and 10,000 will fall at your right hand. But because you knew him in the secret place, you'll be able to live for him in the public place. And so when God is equipping you in the secret place, when God is equipping you in the hidden place, when it's time for you to be seen, When it's time for you to be known, when it's time for you to be more recognized, if you will, you probably won't have to worry about passing out your business card. Probably won't have to worry about running a marketing campaign. Because the people who are delivered through you and what God is doing in you that He's now doing through you, the people who are healed, the people who are touched, the people who are blessed, the people who are impacted, they'll tell it for you. And that's what we learn with Jesus. He was hidden until He wasn't. And He would look at people that He was touching and impacting and empowering, and He would say to them, don't tell anybody. And they couldn't help but to tell it. And that's one of the things about being hidden, is that when you trust God in that process and you realize that God has something more for you, there'll come a moment where the process in many ways takes care of itself if you'll just keep taking your next step in God. But I want to share something with you. Some people never get to that next thing that God has for them. They never experience more because they get so frustrated with being hidden. It's especially hard for extroverted personalities. Don't do well with feeling invisible and feeling overlooked, and sometimes walk away from the process, and rather than submitting to God, submit to the plot of the enemy. And so I just want to challenge you that if you feel hidden, it does not mean that there's not going to be more. Because Moses was hid for 40 years. David was hid for many years. Come on, somebody. I am trying to help some. Paul was hidden for 3 years. Jesus hidden for somewhere around 30 years. Sometimes it's years. And you don't understand. Don't give up in the moment where you feel hidden or that you feel invisible. But then when God does begin to do something public, when God does begin to do something that's recognized by more people, I've also seen people miss getting to the next level on that front as well. Because now that God is doing something publicly, they thought that they were just going to dance from mountaintop to mountaintop and tiptoe through the tulips. And they didn't understand that now that God is doing something publicly, there might actually be a roller coaster ride. And that's another thing that Scripture teaches us. That many times when God would bring people out of hiding, it didn't necessarily mean that everything was going to be just result in red carpet being laid out for them. Instead, many times there was a roller coaster. Elijah steps out on a mountaintop, calls fire down from heaven, defeats 850 foes all by himself, and the next moment is hiding in a cave because Jezebel sent him a Facebook message. I mean, you see it in the life of David. That here he is, he's anointed to be king of Israel. God found him in a place of obscurity, hanging out in a shepherd's field, singing to the sheep. And then the next thing you know, the man who could have helped him the most, the king who was currently on the throne, starts throwing spears of insecurity at him. And he has to hide in caves and run from place to place. And now people are singing songs about him because he's taking the heads off of giants. But it's still, some days kind of up one day and kind of down the next. And kind of up one day and kind of down the next. And I've just found a lot of people never get to more because they love the up, but they really struggle in the down. And they can sing the praises of God on the sunny day, but when it's raining, there's a great struggle that comes with that. It really sometimes like tests my patience of how judgmental we are of sinners. Because it's like we expect so much of them. And it is impossible to live this life without Jesus and do it the right way. And a lot of us got Jesus, and we still... Up one day, I can't get no help on a Sunday morning. I wish somebody in Russell Springs or Campbellsville would shout amen just so I could hear it. I'll take one in Columbia too if you wanted to offer it. You want to talk about the roller coaster? You want me to show you a roller coaster? You want to read through a roller coaster ride in Scripture? Well, let's go back where we started. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Jesus replied and said, Simon, because you because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Hell won't be able to conquer it. Verse 23, Jesus turned to Peter, said, "Get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Verse 17, Simon. Verse 18, Peter. Verse 23, Satan. Sounds like three different people. Simon, Peter, Satan. He says, in the natural, you're the son of John, you're Simon. But now you've heard from heaven. You've picked up something in the atmosphere. You have caught something that you were never taught. You've heard from heaven. I'm going to call you Peter. This is something I can build on, build an entire church on, and anything that comes out of hell can't come against it and defeat it. Now you're talking like Satan. You haven't heard from heaven on this one. You heard from humanity. It's literally what God said. Over here, he says, it sounds like you've heard from heaven. Over here, it says, now you're talking like humanity, so I call you Satan. So in other words, when you talk like humanity, you sound like hell. So if you want to sound like heaven, you got to sync up and get the download. And what happens to us is that when we're in those revelatory moments, it's easy sometimes to hear from heaven and get the download. The gates of hell are not going to be able to prevail against me. But do you understand why Jesus called him Satan? Do you understand what happened between verse 18 and verse 23? Do you know why that Peter's brain flipped out on him and Jesus had to rebuke him in such a climactic way? Because between verse 18 and verse 23, Jesus looked at those disciples after he's just acknowledged that he is the Son of God, and he says, I'm going to need to suffer. And Simon Peter said, you can't suffer. He could not associate greatness with suffering. And when he came to realize that going to the place of more, the place of greater things, meant passing through the valley of suffering, Peter flipped out, and he starts short-circuiting spiritually. And Jesus says, now you sound like Satan because you don't want to embrace the fact that suffering may be a part of your journey. Isn't it amazing how that we struggle with the concept of suffering? Like when I start talking about the fact that we are made for more, there is a celebratory tone that comes over the place and everybody tends to get excited about it. But then when you start talking about the fact you may have to be hidden for a season, you can kind of feel the room shift. You might be invisible for a season. You might be overlooked for a season. You might be hanging out in a secret place for a season. And then we shift gears again. And even after you become publicly recognized, it might be up one day and down the next. You might have to go through suffering. Like half of y'all about walked out a minute ago. When somebody said, suffering. And yet, if we were to sit down together and share a cup of coffee and you were to tell me about how you got to where you are today and how much better it is than where you were yesterday, you would start sharing alongside your successes the struggle and the challenge and the adversity and the suffering. Because there is nothing quite like finding God in the suffering. You don't know that he's your shepherd and you shall not want until you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and you fear no evil because he's with you and his rod and his staff comfort you and he anoints your head with oil until your cup runneth over and he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemy and you look in the rearview mirror and you say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You don't get that kind of revelation without suffering, without a fight, without a battle, without going through a test that you get a testimony, without going through a mess that you get a message. Sometimes you've got to experience difficulty and not give up in the storm. And I get that it's difficult and I get that it's a challenge, but one of the things that God's been dealing with me about, even with my children, Oh, yeah. I'm going to put it in bulldog gear and we're going to go. I don't like to see my kids suffer. Not even at the end of the bench on a basketball team. I'd go to hell with a water pistol. Somebody messed with my kids. Anybody else ever? Oh, y'all sit here all holy and y'all the ones getting thrown out of games. God's been dealing with me about how that I can't always rescue them from adversity. That sometimes it's hard to watch them be rejected or to watch them in their mind at their level in life feel like they're suffering. But would you be where you are today if you hadn't experienced a challenge? If you hadn't experienced adversity? If you hadn't suffered? I look back to the 3 years of my childhood where victimization came to my life. And while I wouldn't wish that on anybody, there have been so many moments that place of even breaking in my life has somehow allowed me to be given in a way that I never thought I would be. I look back at the moments where 5 surgeries in 2.5 years, it was horrible. I hated every moment of it, but I learned more about God in that moment. That moment than maybe any other point in my life where I tried to understand healing or I tried to understand the miraculous. I look at, and I'm sharing you some testimonies because I know it's probably highlighting some things in your life that you get to one level and you meet a personality that you think is going to be the end of you. They'll drive you smack crazy. Personalities are the manifestations of spirits, and sometimes you start dealing with somebody and you're like, I don't know how much more of this I can take, and I really just wish you'd leave me alone, and can you not find somebody else to pick on, and I'd be totally okay if you wanted to unfriend me. Am I going to have to block you? And yet, when you meet Beulah at this stage, and you learn how to deal with her, and you learn how to fight that fight, and you realize that you don't battle against flesh and blood, but you wrestle against principalities and powers of the air, and you show up at the next level, and now her name is... I got to be careful. There's a reason I choose Beulah. Because there ain't many. Yep. Debbie Downer. Okay, we've met Debbie Downer. And now you've met this new... Names and faces change, but personalities stay the same. And you've got this spirit at hello because you dealt with it way back then. And if you had not suffered here, you would not excel at this point. Because now there's more to risk. Now there's more on the line. Now there's more to lose. And if you hadn't learned in the valley how to fight... And so I just feel like encouraging somebody this morning that you've struggled with being hidden. You've struggled with feeling overlooked. You've struggled with feeling invisible. It doesn't mean that God is not up to doing something more in your life. At the same time, maybe you're being a little bit recognized, and maybe God's building your brand, and maybe there's things that are happening in your life where other people are starting to acknowledge, hey, God's up to something in that person. Don't expect that it's always going to be a great day. There are going to be some moments where you feel like you're shipwrecked. There's going to be some moments where you feel like you're beaten. There's going to be some moments where they say all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake, and you'll throw your hand in the air and say, I'm blessed coming and I'm blessed going, for so persecuted they the prophets which went before me. Come on, somebody, when you come to realize that suffering doesn't mean God left you, sometimes suffering means that there's a new level of God you're going to experience, and now somehow God's going to take that place where you hurt the most and use it to touch the most people. I think about Jesus I mean, the climactic moment of his life is his suffering. But without the cross, there's no story of the tomb. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in me and you. Can I share something else with you this morning? In this same vein, I hear so much talk about favor. Everybody wants to talk about favor. Everybody wants to pray for favor. Everybody wants to believe for favor. We want to decree, favor ain't fair. That's right. It's not. Like when God puts favor on your life, it'll open doors no man can close. It'll cause people to like you. You don't even know why they do. It'll cause authority to give you influence. And you can't even explain why you got it. Because your resume says you shouldn't have it. But what nobody talks about with favor is it is always accompanied by suffering. Because for every authority figure that falls in love with you, there's going to be a peer that begins to hate you because of selfishness. And so what happens in the life of a man named Joseph is his father, the authority figure, puts favor on him, puts a coat of many colors on him. He is blessed, and his brothers hated him for it. They threw him in a pit, ripped his clothes to shreds, got rid of the coat, but God sent a caravan. And you don't expect the favor of God to be on a smelly camel, but when it brings you to Potiphar's house, and Potiphar calls for you to be released from your chains and become the head of his household and favors you over everyone else in his house, his wife's going to hate you. And she's going to hate the fact she can't have you. And if you're not careful, you're going to find yourself in a situation where she's going to lie about you. And the next thing you know, now you're in prison. And prison doesn't feel like favor. But if you hadn't been in the pit, you'd have never made it to Potiphar. And if you hadn't went to prison, you never meet Pharaoh. But because the favor of God is on your life, doesn't matter if everybody else in the prison likes you or not. Doesn't matter if the people who put you in the pit hate you or not. Every time that you need authority to give you influence, God will reach into the pit, He will reach into the prison, and He will pluck you up and pull you out and put you in places that you will not even be able to explain how you got there. So don't hate the pit and the prison so much that you abort the plan and the process that God has you on. And so I just want to encourage you that I believe if you're ever going to experience more, you're going to have to pass at least one class. And it's called Rejection 101. And if it hadn't happened to you yet, and you're believing God for more, all right, just give it a little time. You should look at this verse with me one more time. Matthew 16. He calls him Simon. He calls him Peter. He calls him Satan. One moment he's affirming that he's talking like heaven, and the next minute he's upset because he's talking like humanity. But God, so what you go through, make sure that you're bringing heaven down. You can't pull humanity up without bringing heaven down. God did not say, pray humanity comes up. He said, pray let my kingdom come in earth, come down into earth, come down, kingdom down. And so I just want to show you what happens in Peter's life. They're going to begin to play the music softly, and as they do, I'm going to read one more passage of text to you, and I'm going to ask you to try to get your heart in a place, if it's not already there, where the Holy Spirit can deal with you for a minute. Because one minute he's Simon, the next minute he's Peter, the next moment by Jesus' own definition, he sounds like Satan. Because he could not deal with the concept of suffering. But years later, Simon Peter writes to a church, and 1 Peter chapter 5 records the words. And now Peter's teaching a little bit himself. And this is what he says. Humble yourself under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and your cares to God. He cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out. You got an enemy. He's the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. He looks for someone to devour. You stand firm against him. Fight. Be strong in your faith. And remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering as you are. In His kindness, God called you to share in His eternal glory by the means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered for a little while, He will restore you. He will support you. He will strengthen you. He will place you on a firm foundation. Somebody get it this morning, please. Because it's all power to Him forever and ever and ever. Amen.